Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
How's it going? Sidelines Tyler here.
That's it, man. Well, where's old Johnny Slickmeister Boudreaux at?
he's here with me, you know, looking over my shoulder, making sure I don't turn into Slacklines Tyler.
All right, there you go. All right, man. Well, let's roll. Let's go to Captain Cliff Webb. Let's go down to Corpus Christi, see what's up with him this morning. Cliff, what is going on, man?
Morning, Mickey. Good morning, man. Well, how did you and Johnny B deal on that fishing trip? I've been dying to hear about that.
It was a little slow, just a little slow. Okay. We had a northeast wind at about 20 that morning. We couldn't get to the fish where I've been catching fish, and we had to do some off-the-wall backwater stuff, and I think we had four keeper trout that day.
Well, good. He kind of sees what we really do.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. This is the real game.
This right here is why you don't want to be a gad right here for days like this.
We talk about the good days. We don't talk about those days everybody has.
I like about Facebook. You don't see the bad. You don't see the empty stringer pictures or no fish pictures. All you see is the good stuff.
I'm glad I don't look at that. I'd probably be depressed on some of those days I don't catch fish.
You will. It gets old, though, man. Five pencils lined up. Look at me. I'm a grown man. I just caught five wormy trout. You know, they average about a pound and a half apiece. And hero shots with five pencils.
Oh, that's good stuff, man.
Oh, Lord. I like seeing the single, the single picture, somebody wading, holding up a big old gorilla, man. That's the kind of pictures I like to see.
I got a picture yesterday. My buddy caught that fishes off the jet. He caught a 35-pound kingfish off the jet. He's yesterday.
Oh, Lord.
That was a smoker, man. He's a guy that, you know, fishes for the snook. He just fishes those jetties every day. And he's in Port Aransas, and he throws that feather jig up and down that jetty for the snook and hooked that kingfish, and it smoked.
That's good stuff.
Our fishing's just been so good this week, Mickey. You know, it's just been off the charts. I sent you a little video. I sent you one of a pretty good fish, but some of the other videos are too long. I can't send them on the phone, but it's just been smoking hot, man.
Yeah, I like that slow-mo video. That looked like a pretty good trout tail walking and shaking its head all up and down the side of your boat the other day. That was cool.
Well, so the only reason I sent you that one was that tail walk. He did like a tarpon when he took off from the boat, and he went about 6 or 7 feet up on his tail. That's why I sent you that picture, because that is just unbelievable for a trout to do that. That was pretty cool.
That is.
Good. It was just smoking hot this week. You know, we've been catching these fish on suspended rocks and deep water over rock and sand. And this stretch I'm fishing is probably 4 or 5 miles long, and it's deep. It's 6 foot deep. And the key is to fish the rocks with the sand. You know, there's – some of these rocks are full of grass and mud and stuff. The trout don't like them right now. They want that hard, white sand. Mm-hmm. And even though I can't see the bottom right now or where they are, I've marked all these rocks that have sand on them. And so I get up there Wednesday morning. We have the same people 2 days in a row. Wednesday I get in there. And right when we get there, Mickey, it's like I drove into the only storm in the bay. This big old yellow cloud, you know, we just drove right into it. It's the only storm in the bay. It's like I'm a storm chaser or something. I said, you know, this it's like I'm doing this on purpose. We pull in there, and we get to fish about 5 minutes, and we just get started getting pounded. So I had to run to a cabin and sit in a cabin for about an hour and just watch it get pounded. So I said, well, the good thing about this, these fish are deep, and it really won't shut down the bite too bad. So the fish aren't up shallow. So we got in there, and we caught about maybe a half a dozen really nice fish up to 5 pounds. And I said, that's okay. We know where they are. We can get back on Thursday morning, and we pull in there Thursday morning, Mickey, and I could not even fish. It was so good. All I did was work that phone, and I probably shot 10 or 15 videos, and I think we figured out we caught 12 trout in the 6-pound class. You know, that's a lot of fish, over 26 yes. inches, and not even counting the 3- or 4-pounders. And it was so good that you just sit there with the dip net and you wait for it, see which one's the biggest and say, okay, this one's not too big. We're not going to net this. We'll flip it over because we don't want to get the lure in the net, you know.
Right.
One of those days you just dream about. But, and it was a soft plastic bite. That's what's so crazy. They would blow up a topwater, kind of like James would say. They blow that topwater out of the water and not eat it. And you put on a soft plastic and just whack them.
Yep.
It's amazing.
The buddy system is what we used to call that. When Blaine and I had weighed tournaments together, one of us would start off with a topwater, another would have a soft plastic, and one guy would start getting blow-ups, and then you throw your soft plastic in behind there and catch that fish. It wouldn't eat that topwater, but it'd eat that soft plastic.
Yeah, it's like last week, same thing. And they were hitting the double Ds, and then, of course, I threw the plastic out there. And I'm using that one, the opening night. I always call it morning glory. It's opening night is the one
opening
I mean to say.
Opening night, yeah.
Yeah, I always call it morning glory. It's opening
yeah,
night.
Yeah, morning glory is the black one.
Yeah, and I said the other day, I said, well, I get those brain farts, you know.
Hey, I'm the same way. It doesn't matter what you call them as long as they catch fish. Call them something.
That's what it is, man. And then yesterday was really cool. It was my wife and I's 44th anniversary yesterday. And on our anniversary
awesome.
44 years ago, we went down South Pottery and surfed. And so yesterday we went and surfed together, and the waves were really good. Waves were head high. So we both surfed. 44 years ago we surfed on that day, and we surfed, you know, same time. So it's pretty cool to have to be able to do that. Still able to surf 44 years later.
Well,
it wasn't pretty, but we're out there anyway.
Did you keep your feet off the bottom and avoid the rays?
God, it was a nightmare, wasn't it? Oh, man.
Yeah, tell me about that ray sticking you last week. After we hung up the phone, you went wade fishing, and bingo, you got hit.
Yeah, and that was so funny because I was so tired from fishing all week, and I said, man, don't go fishing. You hurt all of your shoulders. Hurt. I said, man, sure, it's nice out there to surf. So I throw a topwater on. You know, I'm only 5 minutes from the surf, and I walk out of the surf just, you know, a foot deep, and I'm casting, and a buddy walked up next to me, and I turned to talk to him. And when I stepped sideways, I stepped right on top of this big ray, Mickey.
Oh,
and, man, I'm real quick on my feet. And as soon as I felt that feeling, you know, I raised my foot up. And when that fish left, it went under my foot and popped me on the ball of the feet. But I was raising my foot up when it hit me. And so when the barb went in, it kind of cut. It kind of cut a hole in my foot. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't think it was that bad. And about 30 minutes later, let me tell you what, buddy, I come home and I told my wife to get a bucket of hot water. And if you ever get stuck, the whole deal is hot water.
Hot water's it. It puts the fire out.
I sat in that bucket for an hour and a half before the pain went away.
Yeah.
And I was back in the water on Sunday. But it wasn't bad. It was just a graze. Like those Westerns when you get grazed by a bullet. It was just a graze, man. It could have been really bad.
Yeah, like Matt Dillon. He always got grazed in the arm every time he got shot.
It was a graze in the arm. It wasn't a chest shot. You know, I'd have to put put a handkerchief in there or anything. You know, it was a John Wayne movie. He just put his handkerchief in that hole and kept on tight. You know.
Well, that enzyme, I mean, even though the barb doesn't stick in you, you know, it's on the barb itself, that enzyme, just like a hardhead or a catfish or anything else. And if it cuts you, that enzyme's going to get into your system, and you're going to feel it. I mean, and it's
a pain like nothing else, too, buddy.
Hey, I watched Blaine. He got a stingray under his thumbnail one time.
Oh, man.
He had a bunch of kids, and they were fishing live bait or something out on a channel. He calls me, and he said, man, I was trying to save a 10-cent hook and take a stingray off with hookouts. And he said, I watched that stingray wrap its tail around my wrist and pull that barb right into my thumb. And because he had a hold, you know, he couldn't let go. And I said, well, start your motor up and get that hot water discharge out of your discharge hole there and fill up a Gatorade bottle or something and stick your thumb in it. And he said, this works, so I'm coming in. So he came to my house. We sat there talking, and he kept his thumb in that Gatorade bottle. I kept microwaving hot water for him. He kept it in there for probably an hour and a half before the burning went away. Every time he'd pull it out of there, he'd start hurting big time. And
that's what they tell you, an hour to 2 hours, you know. I pull that thing out and kind of walk around a little bit, and 10 minutes later, give me some hot water, put that thing back in there.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, man.
I don't know what that stuff is, but can you imagine back in the old days when those Cronkite Indians took those big old barbs off those string rings, shot you in the back with one? God almighty. You know, that's a tough way to go, buddy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Golly. Cronkite Indians. Boy, they were they were massive. They were 7 feet tall.
They were big, man.
They were huge.
And they'd pile up all the dead fish and roll in the dead fish to keep the mosquitoes off them. And the Spaniards could smell them when they pulled ashore. They could smell them with an offshore wind. They could smell the tribe of the Indians. But, man, they would they were cannibalistic. They'd invite them in for dinner. And then, you know,
y'all come on over and have dinner with us, and we're going to eat you. Yep, the Spaniards used to have Caranqua hunts back in the day. And they had a rough life living in these marshes on the Texas coast and, you know, dealing with the mosquitoes. And, you know, they saw the best of the fishing there was.
Oh, man. You think they might have saw some trout laying up in the flats?
You think? You know, spearfishing them, and, you know, even the Spaniards, the explorers would say, hey, man, Galveston Bay would turn completely red with fish. The waters would. That's just crazy.
And our waters are just beautiful. I mean, I don't know about your water conditions here, but it's some of the best I've seen up and down the coast. Our water's good. And this is some of the best fishing I've seen in a few years.
Y'all are coming back, man. You know, that five fish limit and, you know, all the conservation efforts by a lot of good fishermen down there, it's paying off for you guys, man.
It is. And that storm did something to our fishing, that last hurricane, but it's all back now. It's definitely back.
It is. I'm so glad for y'all. I'm next. I want to be next. Galveston Bay, well, come on back.
It sounds like you guys are getting fish back again, Mickey. It really does.
Yeah, we just need we need a lot more big fish, and that'll help a lot. We got a lot of, a couple of age classes of young fish. We got tons of them. But,
I heard you caught that big fish in the surf at 8-something. Somebody caught that
yeah,
fish.
Caught an 8-11 the other day in the surf, yeah.
You know, I was listening to your call-in about colors in the surf, and that's something we're always we're trying to figure out what color to throw on a mirror lure here in our surf. And you say pink is it for you guys, pretty much.
Yeah, pink pink, whether it's like a 51M mirror lure or topwater, usually works pretty good. You know, that pink chicken mirror lure, the pink and yellow one, the Texas chicken, that works good. Or the SHP, that's the solid fire, you know, hot pink with a silver flash, and those have always been good. And, it, you know, but it pays to be on them, too. You got to be on fish to catch them on these baits. There's no such thing as a magic bait that calls fish in by the multitudes. You got to find them yourself.
That's it. But I'm gonna start up with the top water this morning. Work my way. I don't know how big the surf is, but I'm taking the surfboard and the rod and reel. So we'll see what goes on.
Best of both worlds, man. Hey, Cliff, hang on a second. Let me do a quick break, and I'll come back at you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I like that. I want to go fishing with that guy. All right, let's get back to Cliff Webb. All right, Cliff, we're back, baby.
Made in the shade, huh?
Made in the shade, dog.
Man, that's what's getting ready to happen real quick. And all this, another couple of weeks, we'll be wishing for a little bit of shade. Just getting ready to get that time of year.
Summer's here, man. It's really going to get hot this week, they're saying, with that storm over there. And we're going to get all that sultry stuff on this side of it.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to fish next week. And I think this, you know, heat index is supposed to be like 115 or something when I'm fishing next week. That's going to be good. I'll be about belly deep in that water somewhere, man. That helps you wading, though. You know, when it's hot, that wake fishing really helps. God almighty.
Yeah, I'm more of a, when it gets real hot, I like that chest deep, throwing out off a ledge somewhere. Can we catch these out of the boat, Captain? Yeah, probably could, but, man, if we can wait them, we can stay cooler and throw out to them, and plus we can catch more.
You know, we do a lot of patterns here where we have these big flats that have solid grass, and the grass stops and drops off the white sand. And you know, and reason it drops off because the sunlight doesn't penetrate the water column, and so the grass stops growing at that certain point. It's about 5 feet. It's about belly deep to chest deep, and we can walk down those things in the summer. At the end of the day, you know, 12 to 1 o'clock, and our bite stopped on the rocks and it stopped on the channel walls and stuff. We can pull out on those flats like that, especially if you got a wind blowing off the flat. and just stand on that drop-off and just whack them, because those fish are running up and down that sand drop-off, feeding off the fish coming out of the grass.
Right.
And that sand's so much cooler. And it's so funny because these deep rocks I'm catching these fish on, Mickey, are probably 4 or 5 degrees cooler than anything else around. You know, I'm fishing white sand in 5.5 foot of water. And the reason they're there is the water's cooler and they got structure to hunt. You know, they can sit around those rocks and hunt. And it's a place you can't fish it when it's rough. It's just you have so many limited days you can fish this spot. You know, I know the fish are there every day, but it's like 6 foot surf in there any other time. It's in the middle of the bay. You can't get out there unless it's just calm. And it's so funny because we pull up on this one rock and, man, they double hook up, big fish. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm netting, I'm letting them go. And the third one they caught, I just snapped on a bow grip, held it up. They took a picture, I turned it loose. And these people are watching me coming by, you know, and they see me. And then, so I don't stay on those fish because if I stay on them, I'll blow them off that rock. So I just troll on by them and come back around about 20 minutes later and get back on that school. You saw me do that before where I don't pound that school. I pull off on that school. This guy pulls out 25 feet behind me with croakers and anchors on that rock. Mickey, he never caught a fish on those croakers. I don't know if he had mutes or what. I don't know.
Croakers were talking or what. He had some non-verbal croakers.
Non-verbal. They were doing hand signs, man. That's what you're signing those times.
That's
they
it,
were,
man. Know, Helen Keller they croakers.
They weren't killer croakers. They were PETA croakers, I guess. Anyway, they weren't catching them on. It was just hilarious. And we went back in there and whacked them again. I said, let's not do that again. We'll pile the boats up in here. But we just kept on going. And these fish were just rocking the top of the water. You saw those videos. They just come up and they just rock it, you know. And it's just a rip-off. You're catching them because they're throwing up slicks, you know. And, you know, we're running around the boat like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off trying to net them. But thank God there wasn't a lot of boats around. They don't really fish in the middle of the bay like I do this time of year. But that was pretty cool. The guy pulls up with a PETA croakers and didn't catch him.
That's good stuff, PETA croakers.
Hey, man.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Did you hear what Hillman said last week? He was talking about, he said, you know, something's wrong when a Floatrol bucket full of croakers is worth more than the price of a barrel of oil.
You know, and I said that Saturday. It's funny you said that because I said that Saturday morning to one of my oil field buddies. It was real funny. He was on the beach, and he owns an oil field company. He didn't really appreciate that comment too much. You know, I said, man, I feel bad. But
well, it's going up. What did I see it yesterday? It's up to about $38, $39 a barrel. So here we go. We're coming back,
today,
man.
It's coming back, buddy. We're coming back. You know.
We're
so good in America. We got to knock us back a little bit every once in a while. You know, it's all right. What doesn't kill you make you stronger.
That's exactly right, man. Tough times make you stronger.
That's it, man. That's it. But, we're all good here, just waiting for everything to. It's funny because we're pretty much opened up here business wise. I don't know if you guys are 100% here, but it's just so crowded here, Mickey. Every restaurant, every gas station, the beaches, it's just every day's like the 4th of July down here. It's insane.
I had to run to one of those hardware box doors yesterday, and I go, wow, this is crazy. I had to go about 3 weeks ago and get something because I'm doing all this work around the house, and I said, man, this is crazy. People are out in full force. It's back. We're on.
Yeah, that's it. You know, a lot of people are out of school, and some people are not working, and they've been cooped up for too long. And so that's what's going to happen.
It's every cast right now, buddy.
Well, I'm hoping that surf will be flat today. I don't know. You know, you're talking that Sharky wasn't going out today. I guess the seas were pretty rough out there.
Well, they're supposed. It's good right now. He's got a small window, but to commit and you know, just like Cameron, he didn't go today either. James's boy, because once you get out there and it comes up, it's you know, you don't know whether your window's going to be 2, 3, 4 hours, 6 hours. You just don't know, and it's better to reschedule it and do it.
Oh yeah, and Sharky said something really smart too. He said something really smart. He says you don't know when that engine. He said engine difficulty. It's not the time to have engine difficulty right before a storm in the Gulf. I mean,
No.
You know, when it's perfect for 2 or 3 days, you're out there in a single engine, that's different. But when you've got something, you know, breathing down your neck like that, it's not really the time to go out there and risk it. Smart move. That's a good captain right there. That's a good captain.
Yeah, he's young, and he's got the energy and the drive and all that, but he's got a good head on his shoulders, too. That's what separates a lot of them, you know. from being good captains and just mediocre captains.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. But, well, I'm hoping that you'll try to get down here sometime, man, because I tell you what, Mick, your fishing's really good, man. I just wish you could come down.
I know. Man. I may just have to do that. I think I've got a window coming up in about a week. I may just have to blaze out.
Because Doug Burton always say, you know, June is one of the sleepers here. People don't realize how good June can be.
Yeah, it is. Some of the best months I've ever had down there in June, man. And I've had some unbelievable August down there also.
Yeah. So I'm hoping. And it's so funny because August, those fish get real shallow on that white sand end. And
people
by then are out fishing deep in the croakers, and they don't run the fish as much. And it's fun fishing like that. But right now, numbers of 3 to 6 pound fish are pretty phenomenal for us right now. It's pretty amazing. It's really good.
Golly. Man, you're making me want to drag up.
I won't catch nothing next week. I better shut up. You know, that's how we fishing is, man. But
need at least to move my studio to Corpus.
There you go, man. There you go. Yeah, this is all good, man. But I'm excited about the tarpon because I always this time of year when James starts chasing those tarpon offshore, it's about this time they start showing up on our jetties. It's been too rough, but they did catch one in Port Aransas. But this is when those small tarpon. The last week of June and July, I show up on our jetties, those 25 pounders.
That's a fun ones to catch, man, on light tackle. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm. And we had those, like I have my friends, that's all they do all day long, is throw that fly for those tarpon. And my buddy Bob and caught that big snook. I've seen that video of that big snook. That was incredibly caught in the channel the other day. That thing had to be 35 inches.
Yeah, that was a
war horse. I guess when you walk those jetties every day, 300 something days a year, and cast every day, you're going to catch something eventually. That's what.
You're going to see a lot. You know, it's just like catching that big king with that feather jig fishing for snook. That's funny.
Yeah, that's cool stuff, man. Cool stuff.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, man, I'm gonna let you get to it. You need to go get in that surf right now, and don't get stuck again, man.
I'm staying on the sand this morning, man.
Boy, I would. I'd just keep my feet out of the water. All right. Can't help it.
Yeah.
Can't stop, won't stop, as Plog says.
That's it, man.
All right, buddy.
Well, hey. Erico 361-949-0707. You guys got a great show today. Thanks, man, for having me on.
Hey, you got it, brother. Be safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week, Cliff. See you, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Take care. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. Really good guy, man. Really good. Heck of a fisherman, too.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I've been still trying to figure out how to put the hoochie-coo on it, but I'm working on it.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
We used to walk through my grandmother's chicken yard barefooted and it would just squirt up right between your toes.
That's how come your feet's so big.
Hey.
If it got fertilized.
That's a good feeling, man.
You got that right.
If you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Coming off two pretty good days of fishing.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Life is good.
Yeah.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Playing that bump after that bite. Dixie Chicken, Little Feet. Or shall we say Big Feet. All right, let's go up to Lake Livingston. Let's talk to our good friend at Pinwall Campground and Marina, Harry Detant. Harry, you ever walked through a chicken yard barefooted?
Not on purpose, Mickey.
Not on purpose.
You know, I mean, you get all sorts of things squished up between your toes when you do that, you know. I don't know. Did you?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, my grandma's.
That's kind
country
of,
living, man.
Kind of one of them, where I was raised there in New Mexico, might be one of them kind of a learning curve. Where you know not to do what on a hot wire fence, you know, and it only takes one lesson and you don't do it no more.
That's right.
sure don't. Well, we've had a pretty week up here this week, Mickey. Sure have. I don't really know. I think the lake's fairly close to normal pool. I haven't a clue. I hadn't paid much attention to it this week. And last I looked, I think the release is, you have to correct me, I don't know, somewhere around 7,000 or 8,000. I don't know. But everything's been a cooking really, really nice. I was on the water there, I guess it was yesterday. And, you know, we was right out in the middle of the lake, and I got to noticing there'd be some dingy water, and then there'd just be pockets of big clear water, you know, just pretty
right,
pretty nice and green and everything else. So everything is coming along pretty good. We caught a bunch of white bass, but, you know, I'll be real honest with you, Mickey. I only fished for about an hour and a half, and all. I didn't have a whole lot of time, but you know, I caught 100 fish, Mickey, and I had maybe four that would just barely squeak out 12 inches, and I had two that would go somewhere between 13 and 14, and that's not a very good return. But most of them about,
you know what this
10,
reminds
10
me
half.
Of. I forget what year. Remember back when they changed the size limit on white bass so y'all could get your fish?
That's exact. Yeah, we went from a 10-inch fish back up to 12 because all you could catch was dinks.
Right.
And it took about, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. And then you could go fishing. You could lift one out of the water, and you say, "Boy, it's a nice white bass," and you just put it in the cooler. I mean, you know, that would be a 13, 14-inch fish. But it was beautiful out on the water. I hadn't got to do that in a little bit of a while, you know. But that old lake was nice and flat, and I didn't even go till, I don't know, it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and all, but. You know, those white bass, they like it better when that sun hits that water and everything else. I mean, a lot of people like to go early, but anymore, I mean, I just soon to go when it's starting to get the hottest. I mean, used to years
ago.
Yeah,
mid-morning to midday is really hot action on white bass. They school up big time.
Uh-huh, they do. And, you know, I don't know, you know, when I was carrying a lot of guide parties, and most of the time I didn't carry anything on the weekend, but if I did, I guarantee you I'd go late, and you know, and I'd go leave here about 10, and you know, about lunchtime everybody gets burnt out and goes in, you know, and the lake settles off, and I guarantee them old whites, they just roll like a damn tumbler out yonder. I mean, they just come alive. So that's doing pretty good. And I tell you what, these crappie, I have seen some really super nice crappie this year. I talked to one guy the other day, and I looked at some that he had, and he had a limit of crappie, and they was all, I don't know, he had a bunch of them that was probably, I don't know, 13, maybe crowding 14 inches, nice. Big
yeah.
Old slab type crappie, and I mean, and he had been throwing back. He told me he threw back everything. Didn't keep any 10-inch crappie. Just throw them all back. But
right.
But they are the crappie is this year. You know, and I think it all. You know, last year maybe we had all the rain, and I guarantee you fishing pressure was really really low on Livingston last year, and I think it just gave these fish a little while to recycle and
recycle and grow up. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. But so they've been doing good. And you know, believe it or not, the shad's still running. They're not running as strong as they were, but they're still running. And you know, they're running between about 6 and 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And these catfish of Livingston, an awesome catfish lake. But I had one guy come in. Of course, you know, you hear all kinds of tall tales and stuff like that. But I had one
right.
guy come in, and he said, he had a jug out and his floating jugs, and he had one catfish on. He said they didn't get it in the boat. He said that son of a gun was about a foot between the eyes on that thing. He said it
Good
was a huge
Lord.
Catfish. But, you know, it could be, I guess, you know, but you don't see those every day. You sure
no.
don't. But catfish have been good. We've had a good run of it. This year probably the best run on the fishing we've had in several years. So I just wish we could get these white bass back up where they need to be.
Yeah, it'd be nice, man, because that, you know, that's everybody lives for that summer white bass fishing up there. And
it does. I mean,
I just looked at
the
lake information, and they're still rolling 21,000 now to the
21,000.
Dam.
21,000. All right. Well,
yeah, and the lake's actually below pool now. It's 130.98. Yeah, it's actually a little bit below pool. But they're still, I guess they're anticipating some rain maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I guess. Well, I tell you what, you know, you watch when they slow it down, it'll spread a mud line down through here. It sure will. I mean, right now, you know, with a release like that, they're just sucking everything right down the river channel. But I did. There was some really nice big pockets of clear water out on the lake, and there was some little dingy water. We was fishing just right off the river channel down towards Stevens Prairie Lake. But it's kind of one of them out of the way places. If you don't know how to get there, you never get there. The water looked really nice. It sure does. I mean, and I didn't even really notice until we've been there a little while now. You know, you see a lot of things, but you don't realize what you see. And I said, doggone, look at that water. That looked beautiful. But we sat right up on top of a big old flat, and, you know, there was just big old balls of fish down there. They just looked like a tumbleweed. I mean, you can close your eyes and cast in any direction and hook up on a fish, and that was really nice. I hadn't got to do that in quite a while. I mean, seemed like you get tied up doing other things, but sometimes it's kind of nice just to go back to basics and just have a nice day. But fish was there and they was wanting to play. They really was. But anyway, we enjoyed it. Yeah, no. But looks like we're going to have a good weekend this weekend. You know, yesterday was really busy. There was a lot of boat traffic in and out yesterday. And in fact, I thought yesterday all day long it felt like Saturday.
The new Saturday now.
I guess so, yeah. There's still a lot of people working from home up here on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we here... Here lately, traffic starts pretty early and all. But anyway, we'll just
Well, if there's one good thing and one positive out of the shutdown and the COVID-19 scare was people and businesses have learned that a lot of their employees are way more productive working from home. And which is good if you can do that and stay out of the traffic and eliminate traffic and everything else. It makes it better for everybody.
You know, I heard a little bit different take on that, Mickey. And there was a guy he was in yesterday, and I think he has about 400 employees in his company. You know, and something was said about working from home. You know,
yeah.
And he said, personally, I kind of like them working, you know, coming into work, and we talked about that a little while, and he said, you know, when they're working for home, you know, I just see their paycheck, and it might say Bill, but I don't really recognize Bill anymore. He said, one of these days I might decide I just don't need Bill and just sign him off. You know, you know, you kind of lose some of that, you do lose a lot of that personal type touch, you know, when you don't see the people that you're working for. They just become a name, which is what he is trying to say. He said, but he could sure see, working 3 days at the office and a couple of days at home, or mix it up, something, you know, or just
right.
stagger and read. That way you could kind of keep a better rapport with your employees and all, and all. But you know, I think we'll see a lot of things change the way people do business and conduct their life and everything else at this, you know. But anyway, I just wish we could get it behind us and get back to normal and all. I mean,
well, it's we're moving in the right direction. Well, for the most part, you know, we get all this.
I think we are.
Everybody riled up, settled back down. But as far as job creation and everything else, we're coming back. That just tells you how strong.
Yeah, I know.
That right there shows you exactly how strong this economy was before all this, you know, shut down and everything.
Yes, it does. Boy, you know, if you want to see something, and I know y'all probably see it down there probably more than I do, but we've got one Chevrolet dealership here in Livingston, and I guarantee you, they've got those cars spaced for the coronavirus. They got a car every 20 foot. I mean, they ain't got any cars. They've you know, it's a decent sized dealership, and they haven't sold completely out, but they haven't gotten any cars in. They told me the other day they was short about 230 or 40 cars that should be on their lot. But now they've just got to hear a car and a car here, there, and everywhere. You know, it's kind of scattered out down through.
Well,
there.
Another thing today, if you don't want to go shopping for a car, you know what you want. You can buy one online.
Online, yes.
Yeah, they'll deliver it right to your house.
Yeah, they will. You know, also they told me they've got cars ordered and they're starting to produce cars. He said they did get in about four cars here the other day, and but a lot of them, the manufacturers can't get parts to put them all together. So, my gosh, it's just a trickle down chain reaction for everybody. You know, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, it'll work its way out of it sooner or later, and all. But I don't know. It just, I guess it's one of them things we just have to kind of get through, and all. Sure do. But anyway, it looks like we're going to have a good day today. Everything's turning out pretty nice. And
I think so. It's going to be a nice weekend here. It won't be so nice over in Louisiana.
No. I think is that going to miss us, Mickey? Do you know? Or?
Yeah, it's going to miss us. I looked at the new path. At least when it comes inland now, it's not going to hook back to the west towards us. It's going to go straight up and then kind of drift over to the north and northeast as it moves inland quite a way. So we're good with that. That was scaring me, and that's probably what, you know, that original path expected a little button hook back to the west.
Yeah,
Now it's not, and that may be why they were still draining that lake. You know,
maybe so. Did they lower Conroe?
Rain event. Oh, yeah. They let some out the other day. When I was fishing up my way, I noticed San Jacinto, another flush of water came down the channel.
Yeah.
And
they've
been doing that real frequent. You know, Lake Houston, those poor people over there trying to, you know, their crappie fishing over there can be phenomenal in Lake Houston. And it's been an off year because they'll drop the lake a foot, and then it'll come up a foot. And it'll drop it 2 foot, and it'll come up 2 feet.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, it's just
I know it.
Back and forth, and they you know, those crappie can't establish a pattern for their spawn and everything.
Right,
and It's messed them up.
You know, it's only my opinion. I mean, you know, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to lower these lakes if you know for sure you've got a big storm coming.
Right.
But really, I don't think you have to do it, but maybe the day before or 2 days before, you know, but you need to be pretty certain that we're going to have one and all. I mean, but just to drop it a week out in front, I mean, I don't think.
Well, the drainage is so terrible in the Houston area and above there, they really have to stay on top of it there because of the flooding issues. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
Poor drainage system, and they depend on these lakes to hold that water and to keep it from, you know, backing up and all that. We're blue in the face on that. Well, Harry, I'm out of time. If somebody wants to come up to Penwall Campground in Marina, how do they get a hold of you, my friend?
Just give us a call up here at Pinwall, and that number is 936-967-4752. And
all right,
Mickey, you have a good day down there today.
Harry, it's always a pleasure. You bet. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week. See you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Take care. All right. That's Harry Detan up on Pinwall Campground and Marina on Lake Livingston. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back bright and early. Open Line Fun Sunday tomorrow. Right here at 4 a.m., Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.